ladies and gentlemen. Let's get ready to recycle.
Oh, God, we're back again. It's the Recycle Bin Podcast, the podcast that's been away for far too long because moving house and BT are arseholes. My name is Chris Spann. I'm in a friend's kitchen recording this. I'm using a sock that I was wearing until about 5 minutes ago as a pop shield because I forgot mine. This is the level of cowboy operation you are dealing with. My guest today from Official Nintendo Magazine and elsewhere on the internet is Kate Gray. Kate, say hello.
Hello.
Hello. It's very, very good to be finally speaking to somebody on the internet again. I've been without the internet now for, well, if anybody follows me on Twitter, they'll know, for weeks now with no end in sight with regards to that. And as I say, it's only down to thanks, down to the generosity of a friend of mine that I've been able to come and actually record something somewhere with somebody in the hope that that everybody doesn't forget about this podcast that I used to do. On the advice of a few people, I'm going to not apologise for my presenting, which I normally do, so you're going to have to deal with arrogant me instead tonight. Sorry, Kate. Okay, so welcome back to the news. We definitely didn't have a break there because I thought I'd screwed up. Hello, welcome back to the news. News this week. We're only doing one bit of news this week, and it's good news, and that is, well, it's two pieces of news, both of which are good. Number one, the new Mario Kart is out for the Wii U, and it's bloody brilliant. And piece of news number two is that as a result of Mario Kart 8 coming out, Wii U sales have gone up 666%, and the game has sold 1.2 million copies, of which I am one, and I believe Kate is another. what wicked news for owners of a console, the console that doesn't have any good games. It's been out. How long has the Wii U been in existence for now? Was it the end of 2012?
It's at least a year, yes.
Yeah, it was the end of 2012 that it came out. And obviously, there's been. Anyone who tells you that there's no good games, A, is lying, because there's a ruck of great games out there for it. But nobody was buying one. And I'd speak to people, and people would come round and really want to play, especially things like Nintendo Land and stuff like that. But everyone was going, oh, it's a bit expensive, and there's not really enough for it yet. Now, obviously, these people are all arseholes, because there's plenty for it. But finally, vengeance. For a start, I think we played a few games via Sean Bell's internet on the weekend just gone. And I mean, as I say, well, for a start, what's your opinion, as your entirely unbiased opinion as a writer for Nintendo Magazine?
Obviously, I think it's fantastic. I think the reason that people were being so down on the Wii U is because they became the go-to target for people to have negative opinions about the games industry. And, you know, it's a shame that people always do that to Nintendo when they're doing very similar things to other game companies. But, you know, like Microsoft's consoles are expensive and Sony's consoles are expensive, and they didn't have a great launch lineup either, but people buy them and they're like, oh, well, this is great. And then you come to Nintendo and people expect more, and it's strange.
Yeah, this is the thing I was thinking about this the other day. The PS4 rather, has been in existence now for about 6 months or so. And yeah, there's not been, by this point, or around about this point in the Wii U's life, there was Zombie U, there was Nintendo Land, there was Wonderful 101 was on its way, I think. There was Pikmin 3, there was New Super Mario Brothers U. There was all this tremendous stuff. And, it's the console with no games. No, you mean it's the console that doesn't have the best version of Call of Duty, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. So now to see, it's probably helped the fact that Nintendo have, like, demolished the prices on the run-up to it. But it's just such a great time to have the console now. And, I mean, if we can talk about Mario Kart for a second.
Yeah.
Gee, it's perfect, isn't it? Like, I've been sat, I picked it up, as I say, it's not a great amount of fun playing on my own, but it's just, it's the best Mario. I was actually initially a little bit worried about the game, because I played it at Eurogamer last year and was a bit, oh yeah, but it's just another Mario Kart game and there's been plenty of them. And I was a little bit down on it. And I'm so, so glad to be proven wrong. The online works. It's a Nintendo game, and the online is actually functional and is fun, and like you can jump straight in and play with all your friends. And it's the first time that I've seen a console, or a Nintendo game rather, actually get this 100% right and make it so perfect. I mean, the other day, myself and Sean Bell playing on the same console, you jumped straight in, no issues.
Yeah.
I mean, on launch weekend as well, that's impressive. And then off we went. There's now something to counter the blue shell, which has been an issue for ages. Courses aren't complete death traps in terms of having no barriers on like they were in Mario Kart 7. It's just brilliant. And as well, it's what, £40, and you get another free game on top of that if you register by the end of July, I think.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm using to sell it to people. Like, you know, loads of people are coming up to me, which is really nice because, like, I'm not an expert, but people are saying, you know, should I buy it? And like, I don't even have to be too much of a shill, because I think, yeah, it's like the best deal you could possibly get in the gaming market at the moment. You get a Wii U, which already has a massive lineup of games that you can retrospectively go and purchase. You've got Mario Kart, which is one of the, I mean, people are saying it's probably going to be game of the year, and it's quite early on in the year as well.
Yeah.
And also you get a free game, and the free games are amazing as well. You've got like Wind Waker and Pikmin 3, you know, they're not just rubbish free games.
No,
really good value.
That's the thing I've found with the Wii U's back catalogue, is there's not, I mean, I'll be the first to admit, there isn't an enormous bulk of games there, but what is there is bloody brilliant. I'd rather go, oh no, it's the console that's only got 20 games got to come out for it, and of which 10 are really, really fucking good. As opposed to, yeah, this console's got loads of games, and some of them are all right. So well done, Wii U, I say. Well done, Wii U. bad news this week. I wasn't going to put this in, but I've just noticed this now, and this might be old news. Apparently, Sony are stopping production of the PSP, which is probably not going to be awful news to most people, but I've got a soft spot for the PSP.
But you've got one, surely?
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, yeah, but it's just, to be honest with you, the thing is, it's going to mean that getting hold of good quality handheld devices that you can run emulators on is going to be very difficult via internet magic. Now, I mean, I know it's been completely and utterly eclipsed by the Vita now. And it doesn't serve a purpose anymore. And I say we're not going to dwell on it. It's just something I saw now and just kind of went, oh, it's like finding out that an old pet that you used to have has died.
That is a terrible analogy.
I don't know where the pet would have gone, because obviously you have a pet and then they grow up and the pet leaves.
You don't tend to let go of pets.
No, the pet goes off to college.
So
the PSP has gone. Is the long and the short of it. 80 million units. Never lived up to its full potential, I don't think. Very, very sad to see it go. It also means now that there is nothing officially in production by Sony on which you can play Guitar Room Man, which is rubbish. But there's going to be me, I think Dave Turner's from Joypod, and about 7 other people who are upset about that. But I want you to know we are really genuinely upset about that. It's awful news. So, anyway, on to the purpose of the show. Now, if only to remind myself, because I've not done one of these for absolutely ages, the way the show works is this. Kate is my guest, and she has brought along with her 3 things that she wants to banish into the recycle bin, which is effectively Video Games Room 101, like the telly show with Paul Merton on. I am Paul Merton. She is my BBC primetime celebrity guest. And yeah, she's going to rattle through some things talk about some stuff, and we're going to decide whether or not to banish them into the recycle bin. Hopefully she hasn't done the thing that everybody else has done and just bought really, really good points, at which I can't really argue them. So like when people go, I think we should get rid of racism in video games, and I have to argue against them. So we don't want that. So Kate, what's your first thing?
Right. Well, I apologize if these are really good points, which they won't be, so that's fine.
Good.
My first one. Now, I work for Official Nintendo Magazine, and it's a bit like blasphemy for me to say this, but I really don't like platforming, and that is my first thing.
Okay. Why?
I don't know. I can't pin it down. And I know that there are some amazing platforming games out there, but they have just never clicked with me. I like things like Super Mario Galaxy and most of the 3D platformers.
Yeah.
I can manage as long as they've got kind of enough going on. But the side-scrolling platformers, I don't understand it. I don't know why they're fun. I don't get the whole jumping on things until there's nothing left to jump on thing.
See, it's an interesting, I sort of know what you mean. Like sometimes when people go, oh, here's a new game, it's the best new 2D platformer you'll play all this year, and I go, like it's just I can walk from left to right, and then I can jump, and maybe I'll have to jump on an enemy, or I might have to press a button to hit the enemy with a stick, and I go, no, I'm not really, I don't want that. And then, but there's something about something like a new Super Mario Brothers or a Tiny Barbarian. I mean, Tiny Barbarian, for instance, I mean, I don't know if you've played it, you're probably not, and I don't necessarily blame you. It's a PC game, and it's a lovely little kind of, it's a retro, ultra-hard platformer, like there's not any of them. But like it's the charm and that kind of the feel of, I mean, obviously I don't need to bring up Mario too much because Mario gets it 100% right. That kind of floating, that feel that works in games. Platforming, like,
yeah,
that's the basis of games.
No, but we've moved on. People need to stop making platformers.
No offense,
everyone who makes platformers.
Are we specifically talking 2D platformers?
You know, I'm not entirely sure. Maybe it's the oversimplicity of it, the having three buttons as your input. I don't know. Games are meant to be fun, and I want to be able to have more control over the world I'm inhabiting.
So essentially, this sounds an awful lot like Kate Gray is too clever for your child.
Oh no, don't, no, that's not true. That's not what I'm saying.
Kate Gray is too clever for your children's side-scrolling games. I can hear people out there who bought that new Kirby for the DS recently calling for you to be hung.
Probably.
Okay, 2D platformers. I'm trying to, right, okay, so that included in 2D platformers is Super Metroid.
This is a bad thing for me to admit, but I've never played a Metroid game, and I'm really sorry.
Oh, Jesus, right.
Okay. I know.
What else is in that list? Mario Brothers 1, 2, 3, and World, and New.
Right, well, I had, what's it called? Super Mario 3D Land, the one on the DS.
Yeah, okay.
3DS, I should say. And I traded it in within about 2 weeks of getting it.
What, now, this is important.
Yeah.
What did you get instead?
Oh, I think I got Harvest Moon.
Oh, gee. I don't know. So, like, Harvest Moon sits for me in that place like Animal Crossing, where I think I like it until I have to play it. In fact, it's the opposite for me with, it's the opposite to 2D platformers. In the 2D platformers, I always go, oh, that's probably not going to be that good. I'm sure I've done that before. Oh, no, it's brilliant. As opposed to Harvest Moon, which I always think, oh, this will be fun because there's plants and I can grow things and I can have seven girlfriends and I can kiss them.
wow.
And then I can marry one. I don't know if I've made up a lot of what happens in Harvest Moon in my head. And instead, that's not what happens. Like, normally what happens, I just end up with a dismal farm, and then I go, I live in Wales. If I wanted to go and look at a dismal farm in which nothing grows, I could just go outside. And you traded...
I know, it's awful. I mean, the thing is, I've got a bit of a reputation at work for liking the wrong games, as I think Joe put it, who has now gone to OXM. But yeah, he makes fun of me for not liking the right games because, you know, most people are going, oh my God, imagine if they announced a new Metroid. And I'm like, guys, have you seen there's a new Harvest Moon coming out? This is the best news I've had all year.
Right, there's nothing wrong with liking Harvest Moon. Like, that is a perfect, tenable opinion to have. It's just liking Harvest Moon over the Metroid games and over, by extension of what you just said, over Super Mario World, which is legit one of the best games ever.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. It really is terrible. It's one of my worst opinions, and I have a lot of terrible opinions, so that's saying something.
It's genuinely a dreadful opinion.
I will own that. That's fine.
I can't think of a worse opinion, unless you said that you wanted more racism in games. That would be a worse opinion.
Yeah, well, I don't want that. That's okay.
Okay, so well done. That's the second worst opinion you've had so far. Platform. I can't. Maybe it's because I have been playing platformers since I was like probably too young to be like one of my earliest memories is playing Super Mario Brothers. Actually, that's a good point. You're asking me. You're essentially asking me for me to delete large portions of my childhood.
Do I have to retrospectively delete platformers from gaming history?
Oh yeah, they're abolished forever. They never happen.
Oh no, I don't want to do that. Don't make me do that. That's a lot of responsibility.
See, now I'm... All right, then, no, okay, why should I save them?
Well, okay, I'll be honest, I don't really want to get rid of them because that's like saying I don't like fun because I don't find them fun, so no one else should have fun, and that's not how I actually think. So, you know, people can keep them. They can have their stupid, terrible platformers. It's fine.
Okay, so, well... Ladies and gentlemen, you should be very, very proud of your new leader and intelligentsia, Kate Gray, who has decided that us mere mortals who don't work for Games Press are allowed to keep our stupid games like Super Mario World and Super Metroid and all the Kirby games and all that other good stuff. But in fairness, Kate, I really hate the Super Smash Brothers games, so we've all got our vices and our cross to bear.
Yes.
Okay, so no, you're not having that one, especially as in the end you told me to save it anyway. So
which is
a remarkable turnaround, actually, and the first time I've had that on the show. So well done. I tend to keep the it's abolished from all history retroactively thing as a trump card, which I tend to play. Kate, what's your second thing?
Right. My second thing that I don't like in gaming is another big thing that is probably going to get me a lot of hatred.
Okay.
I really, really don't like stealth.
No. This is fair. Because, well, is it? I think someone might have brought this up before, actually. But go on. Do tell.
Okay. Well, obviously, there's games like the Zelda games where it's not a huge part of what you're doing within the game. But every now and again, like in Ocarina of Time, you had to sneak past the guards and it's a kind of insta-fail, go back to the start if you do it wrong kind of thing. And it's not... I don't find it fun because I have this massive aversion to adrenaline. I can't deal with it. It messes me up. So stealth for me is like an extended torture session for my brain. I can't deal with like my racing heart and I'm like, I can't do this. And it got really bad in Skyward Sword because it has this section where you're like in a spirit world and there are these guardians.
Right.
And you have to collect these, I don't know what they are, like tears or something.
Right.
And every time you collect one, it gives you about 90 seconds where the guardians are sleeping. But the second those 90 seconds run out, they come alive and they start chasing you. And bearing in mind they're like 20 feet tall metal guys with swords, and you know, there's this urgent music playing in the background, and you can't really run away from them. You just have to make sure you get another thing in time to reset the clock.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do that. That reduced me to tears, that section. Oh my God.
So for those of you keeping track, Kate Gray likes fun but doesn't like excitement.
Well.
This is apparently a very fine line with gentle fun.
Yes.
A kitten falling off a cushion, for example.
That's terrifying. What if it gets hurt? That's awful.
It's not falling far off the cushion. It's only a small flat cushion. Funnily enough, actually, I think whenever stealth gets brought up in games, I always use Ocarina of Time as the example of really, really fucking shitty stealth. And I think people forget that it's in there. Because, as I remember, it only happens in that one bit.
Yeah.
And the thing with stealth, right, is when stealth is done well, and even sometimes that is just allowing you, not being an insta-fail if you do screw up, and two, the game being robust to deal with you not screwing up and actually giving you something to do. So, I mean, a fairly good example, is something like Metal Gear Solid, where you can screw up stealth. I mean, obviously that's a game about stealth. You can screw up sneaking about. And it's sometimes actually more fun for you to have to deal with the fallout of you screwing up. Does that make sense? So as opposed to something like Ocarina of Time, where it just smacks your hands and goes, no, do it again.
I know. I mean, I tried to play Dishonored because I just finished Bioshock Infinite at the time and everyone was raving about Dishonored.
Right.
And I just really don't like Dishonored because it's everything I can't deal with. Like, just, I didn't understand what I was meant to do because it was like, well, you have to hide from everyone, but also you have to continue going. And I was like, well, I don't want to. I'll stay here in this room where no one can see me and then I can't fail. Oh, this is getting too personal.
Oh, was that actually an analogy for life?
Yeah, probably. I'll just stay in one place and then I can't go wrong, right?
I'm staying in my room and I'm fine here. Funnily enough, I didn't like Dishonored, down to considering you're supposed to be this expert assassin. The entire thing felt to me like you were playing as a chest of drawers that was perched clumsily on the side of a building. I hated the entire thing. But again, arguing for stealth, the Hitman games,
right,
do a very, very good job. Well, see, the Hitman games, one of those games where stealth is... Are they stealth games? I mean, stealth's definitely a main mechanic, but a lot of the time in Hitman, it's things like hiding in plain sight. Going into an area dressed as one of the security guards or something like that, and then trying to act like them so as to not arouse suspicion. But there is an amount of sneaking ways into buildings and things like that. But those games, the fun in those games comes from doing things wrong and screwing up. And well, two ways. One, it's fun when you realise that in order to kill the target you've been sent after this time, you can actually poison their birthday cake or push them into the swimming pool or rig the barbecue so that it explodes when they walk into it or when they walk over to use it, etc., etc., etc. And the other half of that is planning that out, then going to execute it, only to realise that a guard has walked through a door at the wrong moment and now he's now alerted everybody else in the facility that you're in. That you are there trying to murder his boss. And then obviously it all falls apart as you try to get out. And that's really, really tidy. But then that's not necessarily a stealth game. What about Batman? Batman, Batman, Batman.
Which one?
The good one. Arkham Asylum. Don't say you haven't played it.
Okay, I won't.
Oh, no, really? What about...
I'm not a big fan of Batman games, goodness me. I do actually like games. I'm coming off really badly here.
So you've done a wonderful job getting a job at writing for a games magazine.
Oh, don't. Oh, I know. What am I doing? I have no idea.
Are you just hoping that they're not going to notice?
I have my niches. Okay. And I'm hoping that I'm valuable because, well, Matthew hasn't played Pokemon and I have, so...
What?
I know. See? He's worse.
That's absolutely madness. Well, Pokemon's a stealth game, sort
of. No, it's not. What?
There's a bit of stealth in it.
Well, when you're trying to avoid meeting the eye of another trainer.
Yeah. And if anything, that's an incredible analogy for real life. Actually, funnily enough, if I could use this to tell a personal story, a non-games related story, it's actually a lot like, and this is just an excuse to show off that I've got a dog. Pokemon is like walking a dog in that if you meet the gaze of any other person that you see while they're out there, they're going to fucking come and talk to you and you're going to be stuck there for at least 5 minutes.
People get dogs for that reason.
Do they?
You're like the anti-dog owner.
In fairness, if I wanted to attract either young women or old men, then the dog would be the perfect answer to both problems. My favourite person I've met is a man who does the bins in the village that I live in. He sorts out all the public bins, and he told me two things. He told me one that it would be a what was he told me? He told me that it would be a shame not to show her at Crofts. No idea. And he also told me to be careful that gypsies didn't steal her.
Right.
Because that's the sort of little village I live in. By gypsies, I imagine he meant anybody who's not from the village he's from. What are we talking about? Oh, you haven't played any?
Still? Oh, I haven't played any games. Yeah, that is what we're talking about. And I'm a disgrace to the games industry, quite frankly.
I don't mean to pick on you.
Oh, it's fine. They do it all day at work, so I'm used to it.
Fair enough. Stealth. There are lots of... I mean, because I know there's plenty of people out there that don't like stealth, but they do like the kind of Batman kind of aggressive stealth where you use it, where you feel like a hunter rather than some guy who can't defend himself.
Okay. So sneaking up on people rather than hiding from them.
Yeah, I mean, Batman's really interesting. It's all about kind of... hiding up in the shadows and then coming down and picking your moment to take out goons and stuff that are in the room. Especially a lot of the time in Batman as well, they're a lot heavier armed than you, so they'll have machine guns, things like that. And it's about using their own fear as well, so you can go down, you can catch one of the guys in a... you can hang them upside down and then their buddies will find him and be like, oh no, the Batman's here. What are we going to do? They don't usually take the news that well. And then you skip round taking them all out. And it's you feel like a cold, methodical hunter as opposed to a child in a green tunic.
Right. Well, he turns into an adult in a green tunic, to be fair.
Is that you, an adult in a green tunic? No, yeah, you do turn into... Okay. Well, yeah, but that's not a good enough reason, is it? We can't keep stealth... We can't... Hang on. What am I arguing about now?
I have no idea.
Stealth. I'm trying to remember whether I put stealth in or not last time as well, because that would be handy in order to keep some sort of continuity to this show. Stealth. No, there's too many good stealth games that don't do the horrible instant, oh, you have been seen due down to some awful... mathsy reason because the guard can see through walls or whatever, and now you have to do it again. Ha 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 ha. Although I will say, it does feel like something that's occasionally tacked on to a lot of games when they just go, right, I don't know what to do in this bit, kind of running out of ideas. Stealth section? Question mark? And they go, yeah. Like, again, I think the example I used, yes, I think the last time I talked about stealth was with Laura Rich on episode... I can never remember what episode people are on. Let's say 3. Yeah, and in the most recent Transformers game, there's a bit where you have to sneak around this facility or this scrap planet. Now, you are a 25-foot-tall, multiple-ton robot who is sneaking around away from other 25-foot-tall metal robots, and bigger than that, actually, like 30, 40 foot metal robots. And apparently there's no way of you spotting you at all. They are future robots. They're going to, it's just daft. It seems so stupid to just throw that in. I mean, because as well, it felt like, oh, right, it's time for a stealth bit now, because you've not done a stealth bit yet. And you've got to do a stealth bit because you might have been enjoying yourself and we can't have that. You've got me all
it
right.
It doesn't sound like you like stealth.
I don't when it's done badly. Badly. I don't know why I enunciated that in such a stupid way. But then, as I say, there's too many places where it's done well.
But my point isn't that I don't like stealth. It's that, well, it is. My point is that I don't like stress caused by stealth.
Oh, okay. And
if it's done well, that means I get more stressed because it's all tense and horrible. Ugh, gross.
Yeah, but surely as well, say if it's done well and it means that like all this exciting stuff happens if you don't get caught, if you do get mm-hmm. caught, rather, then surely you should be like, hey, no need to get stressed, about to have loads of fun if this goes wrong.
But it's not fun. It's terrifying because big metal guys are coming to kill me and stuff. That's not fun.
Right, okay. No, you're not having it. And here's a piece of advice. Never play Super Mario Brothers. Well, you wouldn't anyway, it's a platformer. Super Mario Brothers 2.
Okay.
Because there is so in Super Mario Brothers 2, you know the weird backstory behind Super Mario Brothers 2, it's technically it was another game. And then they added all the other sprites in and blah. Okay, so there are bits in Super Mario Brothers 2 where you go down into these plant pots and you pick up a key. And the moment you pick up a key, you start being chased by a really fast floating mask face through the sky.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, as a child, it used to freak me out, like to the point where I don't think I ever got past the first time you saw one of them because I was like, no, I don't want that to chase me again. It's awful. And also in Super Mario Brothers 3, there's a level where you are chased by the sun. Not in kind of any sort of weird, like, end of an anime way. It's just a sun that, like, spins around and comes down at you. But that's also fucking terrifying, so don't play that either.
Okay.
It actually sounds more like it's the threat of being pursued that you don't like.
Yeah, again, that sounds really personal. Like, I have issues with that.
Well, no, that's a good thing to be scared of. I'm not keen on the idea of being pursued by anybody or anything.
Well, essentially, I have really rubbish caveman instincts. My whole fight or flight response is just to sit on the floor and cry. So, yeah, that's why I hate stealth. Yeah.
I wonder now if we keep it out. No, because if I get rid of it, rather, I'm potentially saving you from an untimely death. From stress. Like, by the sounds, I know somebody who had a panic attack once watching Brits Banged Up Abroad. So I figure if you have a panic attack from doing that, by the sounds of things, you playing something like an Outlast or a horror game has like real potential to end your life.
Probably. That's quite realistic.
You do now sound like somebody who's just like, yeah, definitely. That one, that'll do. all right then. Yeah, why not? We're keeping stealth out in order to keep you alive. Because we're now assuming that you have died in the future as a result of playing a game that involves stealth, which means we couldn't have done this show, which puts us in a paradox. So in order, this basically, I have to keep this out for this show to exist, and I need to put this out. So, well done. You've backed me into a corner on this one.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I just said?
Because
I don't.
You're saving me from dying, I think.
Yes, I'm saving you from dying.
I think that's good.
Yes, it's fine. Look, the point is you've got one in. Well done.
Yes.
What's next? Help me. Dear God, I don't know where I am. What's next?
Right. My next one is my super serious one.
Okay.
But it's something that's been kind of bothering me since I started this job, well, before I started this job, but especially since I started this job, is that people do not seem to be able to see past the fact that I'm female, and it's kind of boring at the moment. I'm like, yeah, you've noticed. Well done. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. See, funnily enough, I knew you were going to bring this up, and a couple of days ago I was listening to one of the most recent O&M podcasts, in which a listener started their question by saying, "Hi guys, not you, Kate, you're not a guy." See, it's an interesting thing. I was talking about this with some other people the other day. As a straight, white, cisgendered male, I don't see it. Like, I don't get it. Like, my opinions on games are judged on my opinions on games. They're not in any way masked by the fact that I'm male or anything really about my personality, other than maybe the fact that I am old and backwards. But I don't get it. Like, I don't receive any of that. I was once accused of hating autistic people, but that's a different story. I mean, how does it affect your kind of your day to day? Because I mean, obviously, you live in a world where you're putting a lot of stuff straight on the internet with comment sections and stuff underneath them. So how does it affect your? Do you find that you get more in comparison to your male sort of counterparts on the site?
Well, when I started the job, I don't mind if people are like, I think you could have chosen someone better, because I'm like, yeah, fine, you're entitled to your opinion, especially if it's someone who applied for the job, which in this case it was. However, they started off saying she's not the right person for this job, and then went on to say you only hired her because she's a woman. Now, my colleagues wouldn't get that. You wouldn't go, you only hired Joe because he's a boy, because that's stupid. That doesn't mean anything. And then later on, I made some Mario Kart videos for Nintendo, and people were either commenting that they liked the video or they didn't like the video or something about my appearance. And, you know, my colleagues were making jokes that maybe they were referring to Joe's cleavage rather than mine, but I mean, I know they did that to kind of lighten the mood, but I don't dress to be commented on. And I kind of find it disappointing that people think that it's their right to do that. Like, surely I should have some kind of right to just do things without having to worry about people thinking I'm, I don't know, trying to attract boys.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I'm making a video about a virtual racing game. Like, this isn't my dating site thing. I don't get it.
Yeah, no, because I remember, now you're going to have to forgive me now because I can't remember the name of it, but I watched a few of your videos that you did in a previous life on another YouTube channel.
Yes.
And again, it was very similar to that. Like, I mean, I know YouTube comments are the arsehole of the internet anyway.
yeah.
But there'd be nothing on the actual content of the game. It was like, oh, look at her.
Yeah.
And it's just so hideously, hideously tiring. I mean, the point I keep making is people keep banging on and on and on and on how they want video games to be taken seriously and considered a proper form, maybe not even an art form. Let's not get that into that stupid debate. But that people want to be considered, like, I mean, it's things like I'm almost embarrassed to take my Vita or my 3DS into work because I know somebody's going to go, oh, are you winning? Have you got the high score? Fuck off. Like, I hate that. But I think in order for gaming to be taken, because I mean, like, you know, if I was reading a book in work, people wouldn't come up to me and just be like, do you know who the murderer is yet? Has there been a beginning and a middle, and will there be a no? Like, and in order to reach a point, well, what, at least one step in order to reach a point towards reaching a point where gaming is taken seriously, is we need to stop this horseshit of first off, when it comes to when you see a woman recording, like producing or presenting a video or a piece of content on a site, is not to immediately think, right, well, she's a woman. Now, I'm going to keep that in mind while I consider the rest of this. So that either A, I can just comment on her appearance, or B, go, the incorrect woman is wrong because...
Mm-hmm. I mean, it unfortunately affects not just the way I write, because I'm very guarded when I write at the moment, but also the things I write. Like, if I'm asked to review a game, like, for example, one of the Cooking Mama games, if they brought out another one and they were like, hey, can you review this? I'd be like, I'm fine to review a game and I'll probably enjoy it and it'll be great. But people will read it going, yeah, she's reviewing a cooking game because she's a girl.
Yeah. And actually,
and I don't want that.
And at the same time as well, you'll also find, in my experience as well, if O&M gave you the new Cooking Mama game to review, you get people going, oh, I see, you gave it her because she's a girl, did you?
Yeah.
Which is
it's just such a shame. Like, I can't just have opinions. They have to be a female opinion. Like, there's no way of degendering what I think about stuff, and that really annoys me. Like, I just want to have opinions. I don't want to have opinions and represent, you know, the feminine opinion or whatever it's called. I'm sure there's an actual term for it. But like, sometimes you don't want to have to represent an entire gender in something stupid like an Ace Attorney review.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact remains is that you shouldn't, in the same way that any other staff writer or any other writer, any male staff writer isn't representing all of men. In their review, and any trans person isn't representing, you know, their culture and their community and what they're writing. You are writing your opinion on a game, on a thing, on a news story, whatever. And it absolutely shouldn't be it shouldn't be the lens in which everybody views the piece. The worst thing I've had is somebody argue with me that I hate all autistic people. Because of a thing that I wrote in which I mentioned autism in, not even in a negative way, I don't think, but I mentioned it and had ended up having a discussion with somebody who said that. But at least that was based on what I'd written.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm trying to flip reverse this. Christ almighty.
Same squad.
I can't believe I just said that. I opened the show with a Backstreet Boys reference, and now I've said that, and I've had the gall to mock your taste in things.
Yes.
So I'm trying to spin this around the other way. If I were to release video content, or if people were to listen to this show, and the entire discussion underneath it or on Twitter or whatever was, well, he's put on a bit of weight since the last time he recorded. Like, yeah. So what? Like that shouldn't be, you know, there's plenty of big fat blokes who write video reviews, video game reviews, and very, very good ones as well. Because that's the point. That's what you're there for, is their opinion on video games. Not, I mean, I'm trying to think now of people like, say someone like, God, it sounds almost harsh to do. Campster is a YouTube guy, and he's one of the good YouTube people as well that actually does thoughtful, interesting videos rather than just bellowing. and he's a chap. Actually, no. What's more interesting, I watch a lot of music videos for bands, and it's always interesting to see that the videos with female members of the band, that's all the discussion is. Is how hot the female member of the band is, or she's fat. Then you can flip it around the other way. I remember watching a video and the band were there, and then you saw the guitarist, and this man was breathtakingly large. Like, he was incredibly the biggest man I've ever seen. That wasn't on a documentary about how big the man was. Nothing, not mentioned anywhere in the comments. And I did look, because I kind of thought, if that was a woman, the shit that she'd receive in the comments, there'd be no discussion of the band's music, which is all this was. I mean, that's its own shitstorm on YouTube. But there was no discussion of it anywhere. And it's just stop being children, all of you. Just stop being boys. Like, well, don't stop being... Hang on. Just stop being pathetic children. That A, think that if a woman is presenting a video that her primary concern is to make sure that you're attracted to her.
I think, unfortunately, that is, I don't know, it's a subconscious thing as well. Like, I don't like this, but I wouldn't go and do a video without having done my makeup and my hair and made sure I was wearing something nice. Like, okay, maybe that's just me wanting to present myself well, but
yeah, no,
I mean, at least the makeup thing is a bit depressing.
But no, I think there is a difference there. I mean, in the same way that when I go to work and I just work in an office and we have a very relaxed dress code, but there's still a certain level of standard that I like to meet when I go to work, and you know, and I mean, I suppose the question is when you're doing that, you're not thinking, right, makeup on, nice top on, now all the boys are going to like me. Like, that's not the train of, well, I assume that's not the train of thought anyway.
Yeah.
But then I do think as well, because I do think for a lot of men as well, I think a lot of men do actually work that way. New t-shirt on, that's all the women going to fancy me today. Still an abhorrent prick when it comes to my opinions, but I've got a new t-shirt. That's me wading in it for the afternoon. Like,
yeah,
I genuinely do think that's how a lot of people work. And I mean, that's not to say, in fairness, I've on the whole found that the listeners to this show to be pretty cool people. And I've had no shit on anything, but there are people out there that, well, I mean, of course there are, you know, there are, as I say, I mean, the guy who opened his question to O&M by deliberately singling you out because you're not male.
Yeah, I think I get that they're just trying to be funny, but like, it's just, I just don't want to not be part of a team because I'm different. Like, it's hard enough being female in the video games industry without everyone having to constantly be like, have you noticed you're a girl yet? And me being like, yes, thank you. I just want to get on with my job. I just want to be friends with people who I consider to be the same as me, and they don't treat me any differently. Like, okay, I made some cake today and I brought that into work, but like, that's only because the rest of them don't really bake so much. So like, no one at work treats me differently, and I just wish people on the internet could do the same, because it doesn't affect my opinions or just anything, really. It's stupid.
Yeah. Well, the ridiculous thing is, I mean, I suppose to an extent, I mean, obviously, again, this is going to depend on the game, but your identity and your life experience is going to alter your opinion on certain things here and there. Not in incredibly noticeable ways, and I'm not saying that everything you start should be, well, as a woman. but like, surely people should be thankful for a different opinion, or like just a very slightly different point of view as well.
Yeah, well, the games industry would be a lot better if we had more diverse opinions. At the moment, it's not particularly diverse, and you know, I'm not saying get rid of people. I'm saying add more people in. Like, it wouldn't hurt.
For the record, I am. Get rid of all people. That's my solution to everything. No, like, but I mean, especially in the way games journalism, or the way I see games journalism working now, an example I always use, I'm going to preface this by saying that I can't stand him now, but a few years ago, John Walker, I know that John Walker and I from Rock, Paper, Shotgun are very similar taste in games. And I would pay more attention to his reviews because I know they were similar to my point of view. In the same way that I know that someone like, say, Laura Rich, who I've had on the show before, has certain crossover in tasting games with me. So when she recommends me a game and says, oh, my God, you've got to play this, it's like this, I go, well, fucking hell, if Laura likes that, then I must like that. And it doesn't matter why she likes that. I mean, of course, that's a cool conversation that we can have at some point as to why she thinks that this game is interesting, or why X, Y, Z person thinks this game is cool. What matters is that person that you know has an opinion that in some way overlaps with you has recommended a game to you, or that says this is fun. And that should come from in your writing. I mean, like, so now we know that if I know, for example, if I ever read a review of yours, it's about a platformer, I'm going to ignore every word. I'm not really going to ignore every word, just the ones about platforming. But at the same time, it's things like I through speaking to you and through following you on Twitter and whatnot, I get a better understanding of what games you're into and what you like. So when I read your reviews, I'll keep that, but that's through actual discussion, an actual reading of your work and getting to know your body of work, if you like, as opposed to, oh, it says Kate at the top. Ugh, that's going to be shit.
Yeah.
To the point where I know there's a lot of female writers out there who, at least when they started out, have used, or some that I know and some that I assume have used degendered names. I can't think of any of the top of my head now. But I know people like, say, for example, Keza McDonald's writes as Keza. Yeah. It's a very gender neutral name. If that's a byline at the top of an article, you're never going to know male or female. In the same way that I've seen people who have traditionally female first names be savaged in comments posts and then be like, well, what? Like, you've said all this about how this girl, da 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 da, I'm not a girl. What? And I just find it very strange and very, very sad that in 2014, we're still having to tread over this same old shit over and over and over again. And just people can't have opinions on things without it turning into, one, some stupid witch hunt because a girl wrote it, and then B, the bloody weekly ethics report over you're sexist, no, you're sexist, no, you're racist, no, I think you'll find that I don't consider this sexist, so you're actually the sexist one. Blah, 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 blah. Life's too short. Life's just, you know when you get home and you realise you've spent a portion, I mean, maybe for you it's different because you work in games, but like when you get home and realise you've spent a portion of the only life you'll ever lead arguing over Mario Kart. And you go, the only life you'll ever lead, the only life you'll ever live, arguing about Mario Kart. And you go, what? No, I'm on the way to 30. I shouldn't be doing this. And I shouldn't be as angry as I was. Like, that's just not right. It's weird.
Well, I'm currently trying to implement a whole thing of trying to be a lot more positive, because there is so much negativity in the games industry. And some days I look at Twitter and I'm like, oh God, oh why? It's an industry where we have fun writing about things that are fun. Yeah. Everyone in the games industry enjoys their job. Of course they do. And, you know, I don't get how people can be so angry. What is there to be angry about? I just spent 4 hours playing a game about driving a car. And it's really fun, and there's nothing bad to say.
Yeah,
but people still have bad things to say.
Yeah. See, interestingly, actually, this is interesting because I know you have an interest in board games as well.
Yes, I do.
It's something that I found. I have a real wish that I wish that board games were more, were accepted to a point where they're considered like on a par with video games.
Mm-hmm.
I would love that. I would love for everybody to know. Not just Monopoly and all that stuff, for everybody to know certain things. I mean, like even like Ticket to Ride, not many people know that, or Settlers of Catan, things like that.
Yeah.
But I worry at the same time that if board games ever reach that level, would all the shit that bubbles around games come with it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember when Call of Duty, they patched Call of Duty and changed some reload times by half a second or whatever. And the guy, the lead developer, was getting death threats on Twitter and things like that.
Yeah, I saw that. That was the worst. That was stupid.
Yeah, and then I just kind of think, you know what? Like, board game rules quite often change because, you know, because it's not been properly playtested. I mean, not as something as well-worn as Catan or Ticket to Ride, but they'll come up and they'll go, oh, actually, no, this now works like this. We've taken a hit point off that lizard man. And you don't get anything. I mean, there'll be some three-post discussion on it on Board Game Geek, which is a site for literally what it's called. And that'll be it. Like that will be it. And I mean, there is more and more interesting board game content coming out now in places like Shut Up and Sit Down and things like that. But I almost don't want it to get much bigger because I don't want to see it spoiled in the same way that video games have been.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, every experience I've had with board games has been great. And the only negative things that ever happen at board games is when someone's mad at you for screwing them over in a board game.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's allowed.
Yeah, yeah. But, and that never, or well, I mean, it probably depends on your friends, but I found it very rarely turns into racism and sexism. And it's usually along the lines of, are you fucking, and then the day goes on.
Yeah. I think board games are like essentially a lot of them are role play. You're role playing as like a dog counter in Monopoly. I mean, I know that doesn't sound like a serious role play, but you're not being yourself. You're being a person who wants to own a lot of property within the board game. You're not as gendered as you are outside of it, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you are playing. You're playing the millionaire dog.
Yeah.
And obviously there's, you know, a lot of method role play that goes into being the millionaire dog. I mean, like, for example, when our group of friends has a board game evening or a board game afternoon, I look forward to them all month or as soon as they're organized, because I find that you're sat together with a group of people. It's like the one day of the month or whatever that when we're together, we don't talk mortgages or rent or that shit. We just talk about, I've played this pirate card. Have you got a better pirate card? No, you haven't. and that's infinitely better. And because it's just a group of people that you like. I mean, this is the thing that Nintendo do right, actually. The other day, playing Mario Kart it was me and Sean playing on his Wii U, and I assume what was you and some of you know playing on yours.
Yes.
And that was great. That was a small group of people that everybody knew each other, and it was fine. We all had fun, and nobody came away upset by awful slanging matches on the internet.
yeah.
You've done the thing that Andy Hamilton did in the last episode where you've chosen your last thing to get me really riled up about something. So it's going to be no surprise for anybody listening to hear that this is definitely going in, because I want it absolutely gone.
Yay.
How am I going to word this? I was going to say women in games. That's not what it is. Bellends.
Not women, the people who are idiots in the comments, right?
Yes. Are going. The idea that your gender or your identity, whatever that is, or your culture can somehow invalidate your opinion down to the point that all that can be discussed is whether or not you look all right in that dress or that top or whatever. It can fuck up. It just needs to fuck off.
It does.
People need to be judged on their own opinions, no matter what they are. So there, good, done. Right, I'm glad we sorted that out, because obviously this is going to make a world of difference. The fight starts now. So finally, Kate, after that, I actually need to calm down. I've got slightly red in the face now, because that's wound me up a little bit. Please tell me the thing you like, because I think we need to, as you said, there's too much you've been saying there's too much negativity, and you come on this show where I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, go on, say what you don't like, go on, tell them, what else don't you like, go on, yeah, it's rubbish, isn't it? What's the thing that you like most about video games, Kay?
Okay, well, I did have one planned, which was going to be that I like a story in gaming. However, I have just remembered that I had a better one before that.
Okay.
And I think it will wrap up what we've been talking about nicely, and it is something I want to talk about that I haven't actually had the chance to talk about yet. So the thing that I actually do like about gaming, and there are a lot of things, I promise, is the community. And I know I have just been talking for like the past hour or whatever about how people in gaming can be assholes, but I was expecting so much worse. When I started this job, I was expecting people I worked with not to take me seriously, for me to be bottom of the pile, for people never to let me do anything like creative or challenging because they didn't trust me, any of that. And what's actually happened is the minute I got the job, people were lovely. People at work, people on Twitter, people I've always dreamed of talking to have now started treating me like an equal in some ways. Like, not obviously people who are editors of amazing things don't think I'm their equal, but they think I'm worth talking to all of a sudden. And that actually sounds kind of like, before I was nothing, but now I am important. But I just, it's been a really wonderful introduction into an industry that I love and am terrified of. So,
It's an interesting, so two things on that. One, yeah, you're right. I've found that everybody I've met who works in the game industry is actually really nice.
Yeah.
And don't in any way represent the people who read or comment on a lot of their work. I mean, you know, I don't want to name check people, but I mean, there's a lot of people at Future who work in various different things or who have in the past that I've met who've been amazing. And there's a lot of hobbyist people out there as well who are wicked. I mean, I still stand with Andy Hamilton's last point. There's a lot of hobbyist people out there who I think get into games writing for the wrong reasons, or because they think they're just going to get showered in free stuff all the time. But there's a lot of cool people out there who I, through writing myself about games, who I've met that I consider friends, whose houses I've stayed at and whose birthdays I've been to and things like that. And it is, on a good day, it's an amazing community, especially on something like a Twitter, where you see people who barely know each other doing silly favors for each other every day and helping out. And although what is interesting is I find, as somebody who's not a proper, as it were, journalist or games journo, I mean, I don't think I particularly want to be considered one, but I just do this, and I do bits of writing for people and things like that, whoever will let me scribble words for them. I do find sometimes I'm almost looking in on that industry. I'm turning the thing that you like into something negative now. So essentially, imagine it's Christmas Eve and it's a cold night and I'm outside and you all look like you're having a great time. Like, I'm not denying that. And I'm all right out in the cold. I don't really want to come in anyway, honest. I'm being facetious, obviously. There are a lot of wonderful, wonderful people in the industry, as I say, and not even just in the industry, people who just play games and stuff like that. People who are hobbyists, people who fulfill weird niches within, or just other niches within there, like PRs and things like that. I mean, are all cool people. I say I've spoken to an awful lot of them through doing this. I mean, I did a 5-hour documentary on Dark Souls in which I spoke to people from all over the place, some people from Future and some people from elsewhere. And it was cool. I mean, I got a lot of people on that I would never have dreamed of asking to appear on this show. Or who I sent emails to thinking they'll never get back to me. People like George Weedman at Super Bunny Hop and the guys who do Bonfireside Chat, which is a fantastic Dark Souls podcast. If you've not listened to it, by all means, check it out. It's amazing. And I sent them emails. I mean, to me, they're kind of celebrities. And I sent them an email just going, if you want to do this, even if it's just 5 minutes or whatever, that'd be cool. And they did and got back and said, yeah, by all means, it'll be great. I can't wait. And that was so cool. Just to find out that these people are actually exactly the same as you, really. Like, they just want to, they like a thing, they like this game or that topic, and they just want to have a chat about it with somebody, or they just want to, they want to share with you and with other people what it is that they like. And that's what it should be. That's absolutely what we should be dealing with, rather than admire every day of, I think you'll find this game's actually like really racist and you shouldn't play it. Well, actually, I think it's all right. Oh, well, in that case, you're definitely a racist. And I like this game, even though it's got some problems. Oh, well, that makes you worse than Hitler. I like this game that's got Hitler in it. Oh, that makes you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why can't the people, excuse me, inside the industry be... No, why can't the people outside the industry be the same as the people inside? This has been probably very, very insidery and cliquey, the way we've been talking. But I mean, I'm sure a lot of people listening to this are fairly savvy about the industry and whatnot, and know this to be true anyway. I don't think there's going to be many people who disagree with you. It's going, oh, fucking journalists are all pricks, aren't they?
There are definitely people like that, people who just take a disliking to journalists. And I was talking about it on Twitter the other day. I was like, why are people so mad? What is there to be mad about?
Yeah. Or that world of what's the scoring system? If it's a 10, oh, well, somebody got paid for this. If it's a 9, oh, it should have been a 10. If it's an 8, oh, I'll wait for it to 20 quid. If it's a 7, I'm never buying this. Yeah.
It's pretty stupid.
I do love the idea as well. And I know a games journalist makes it every week. I think Chris Schilling's made the point before now, where they've just gone, yes, we get paid off. We get massive bribes for every single review that we write. That's why I live in a palatial mansion and haven't had to scrape together the money for my rent this month at all, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, we obviously, games journalists don't get paid much. And that's a big thing, but for me, at the very least, it gets made up in just the fact that you get to be there at the heart of this ridiculous industry, and I get to meet people that I've idolized for years, and then I meet them and I'm like, oh my god, you're real, can I touch you? This is weird, what do I do? And you know, it's just at the pub. And I'm looking at this person going, you look just like your Twitter picture.
Yes.
And like trying not to come across all creepy.
I
kind of remember that, like, this is my profession. And I'm like, no, something's not right about this. What's happened? I must have died.
I've had that before a few times when people who I really, really respect and love has gone, oh, heard your podcast. Really good. And or I see them talking about it to somebody else on Twitter. And I go, what? Haven't you got more important things to be doing?
I know, right? Oh, it's so weird. I got an email today from someone who recognized me from university. They were like, yeah, I was reading ONM and I saw your name and I was wondering if you were this girl whose reviews I used to read at university. And I was like, this is the weirdest moment of my life. I don't know what to say. And I felt really bad because, like, 6 months ago, not even 6 months ago, 4 months ago, I was working in a PPI call center.
Oh,
so yeah.
Yeah. You must be having the time of your life now then.
It's a considerable upgrade. I mean, I don't have to call people about PPI anymore, so I don't want to shoot my own face off. It's wonderful.
Yeah. No, I used to work in a life insurance call center, and I've spoken to people whose partners have literally died days and weeks earlier. And had to pressure them for paperwork and things.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. And I mean, anything's better than that. And I can imagine that a world where getting paid to go Mario Kart's fun in it is a considerable upgrade from what you've previously had.
Yeah. And I don't want to leave ever. It's making me really sad. Just the thought that one day I'll have to do something different. I'm like, well, I don't want to.
Well, you say that like it's like national service, or one day the police will come in and go, no more games for you now.
Well, as we all know, Nintendo are just going to go, oh, well, we give up, because obviously that's the next step in their brilliant business plan. I'm so bored of those things on Twitter. Oh,
why Nintendo is doomed. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, totally doomed. It's doing terribly. Oh, all those sales. What?
Yeah. And it's one of those things. I mean, I genuinely considered it the other day. I kind of thought, this is aside from what we were actually talking about. And I thought, right, the Wii U. Let's say the Wii U fucking tomorrow, Nintendo went, right, we're starting again, whatever. Because I'm thinking now with E3 coming up and there's been the rumours that they're going to announce something new and blah, 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 blah. And I thought, okay, well, what if they do go, right, that's the Wii U done. I'd go, all right, there's not millions of games for it, but there's Monster Hunter that I've put three figures in terms of hours into. There's Nintendo Land that comes out every time we have people round. There's Pikmin, which I've only played the multiplayer. I've not touched the single player. There's Sonic Racing, which is in some ways better than Mario Kart.
Wow.
It is,
though. I was bad for hating platforming. Nope.
No, there's bits. There's bits that are better.
okay.
There's things in it that are better. I like the flying and the whatnot, as opposed to just Mario Kart with the gliding is a bit. It's all right, but it's not as good. There's all these games I've sunk hours into. I mean, the Wii U is our main. Even the Wii U is our main Netflix machine in my house. It gets a lot of use. And yeah, if Nintendo tomorrow went, there's no more games for it, sorry, I'd go, okay, well, give me Bayonetta, because I need that, obviously. And then I'd be happy with what's there now. And so I'm in this brilliant position where now I consider anything else that comes out like a pleasant surprise and a bonus, because it's a well-good machine. This is completely an aside from what we originally were talking about. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to seamlessly tie it up and bring this show to an end by saying this. That's the end of the show, everybody. My name's Chris Spann. Thanks for listening. I'm sorry it's been so long since the last one. I've had some incredible issues with getting a phone line. As I say, I've recorded this in a friend's kitchen. I've got a feeling it might be a little bit echoey when I come to edit it. I apologise about that as well, and anything that's iffy about the audio, it's because I'm not using a setup I'm used to, and I'm speaking into a fucking mic with a sock over it. I'm not in my proper recording setup today. If you do like the show, likes on the places that have likes and thumbs ups and yes, and yeah, definitely more yes. That's what we need. I'm going to start a Miiverse viral campaign. That's what I'm going to do. That'd be a really good idea. I'm going to do that. It wouldn't be a good idea at all. Thanks very much for listening. Kate, thanks very much for coming on. This is the bit where you get to plug your Twitter or what you do or anything if you want to.
My official corporate account is at KONM, but my personal account, which I've been using a lot more recently, is _how_not_to_draw, and I'm super hilarious, so you should all follow me.
Yes. So effectively you've got KONM if you want the Nintendo approved opinion, and then _how_not_to_draw for the seedy underbelly of Kate Gray's mind. And obviously read ONM, of course. It's good. And actually, on a genuine note, official Nintendo magazines, super expert guides are some of the best things on YouTube. Please go and watch them. They're tremendous things. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I've been without the internet for a while. Kate, have you appeared in any of those?
No, not yet. I'm well annoyed.
Well, sort it out, because they're absolutely fantastic. Watch them. Just go on YouTube and search for Super Expert Guide. You'll find them. Keep an eye out for Matthew Castle. You'll enjoy them. Hopefully, I should be getting the internet back in my house on June the 12th. I also will have the keys to my friend's house while he goes on holiday. So as well as going around and wanking in his oven, I might try and record a podcast there if I need to. So again, Kate, thanks very much for coming on.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
And thank you again for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.